a very interesting parasha, not as much as unique and as much as interesting, beautiful mitzvahs that every parasha has, but there is a interesting theme that repeats itself again and again and again, which we touched upon last week, and that is there is what we call a hemshech haparashius, that there is a continuation, there is a underlying story that continues from one independent mitzvah to the other. In other words, the beginning of the parasha talks about a fas toya. It talks about a woman that is captured during a war, and she's brought home, and she goes through a process of trying to look discouraging to the person who captured her, and halacha is how she's allowed to get married to this person, which is an independent mitzvah within itself. The next parasha, next sugya, talks about a person has two wives, one he loves and one he hates, and he has children from these wives. And then the next parasha talks about a ben soira moira, a child who is a rebellious child, a wayward child, how to deal with him, which are all independent mitzvahs. The Rambam, the Chinuch, all classes are independent mitzvahs, but in fact there is a story that is happening that is a cause and effect, that one thing causes something else to happen. Rashi says that you go to war and you see Sifas Toya, and a person's enamored by her looks, and he's dealing with Tzadikim, by the way, who went to war. It wasn't Rishon, Tzadikim went to war, and you take her back in the correct way, and you take her back home, and says Rashi, by the way, you could do that, that's okay. But the next parasha says, at the end of the day, the marriage is not going to work out that great. You married her not for the right reasons. Right? And you're going to dislike her. And the parasha carries on and says, not only are you going to dislike her, his marriage is going to be in tatters, but you're going to have a ben soira omeira. You're going to have a child who eventually is going to be so disruptive, so rebellious, so bad, that the parents are going to feel the responsibility for the sake of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of mankind, for the sake of humanity, to take him to Beis Din and kill him with the worst possible misa of skila. So it all looks very nice at the beginning, but you should just know that there's a slippery path that is happening, is going through the parasha. And this continues, and by the way, it's many, many times Rashi says why these things are connected to each other, which we'll go through Be'ezus Hashem. But there's one verse over here that the Shem Mishmul, the Sokotrov, brings out. And he asks, why is it that we have this story, as we just mentioned, the person taking a this woman from war, and then you have the halacha of, if a person has two wives he dislikes, right? Which is a very nice storyline. But what's the halacha within that storyline? The halacha within that storyline is a halacha of b'chayr. Of b'chayra. In other words, when you have a situation where you have two wives, one you like and one you dislike, and the b'chayr, the firstborn, is born to the wife you dislike, there's an issa, there's an issa from the Torah. You may not ignore the fact that he is a firstborn, and although it may not tickle your fancy to give him a double portion, there's an issa to ignore that, and you've got to give him the double portion. And unfortunately, it's not what you want to do, because you want to give it to the son or the wife that you do like. But there is a to do that. Ask Hashem Mishmul, if you're talking about the halachas of Bechira, I can understand. But why do the halachas of Bechira come in between the halachas of Ifas Toya and Ben Soira Moira? If there's a storyline, that's fine. Let's talk about in this din of Kisyan Ishtay Noshi, let's talk about the din of Geirushin. Let's talk about a rough marriage. Let's bring example of Geirushin. So you have a case where you have a fast toya, then you have the halacha of Geirushin, which comes at the end of the parasha, very interesting parasha. And then you have the halacha of Ben Soira Moira. Why is it that we talk about the din of Bechoyer as an example of somebody having an unhappy marriage? Why does that come in? Says Hashem Mishmul, and this is the theme that's going through. He says, beautiful. He says, why is it that a Bechoyer takes a double portion? What's the time of double? What's the reason behind it? And he brings a lashon, he says, because all the sons that come after the firstborn are drawn after him, and it's as if he was the one who was the cause behind all of them, and therefore ultimately he is the one responsible. He set the tone in the home. He is a son who is a firstborn, and he is a racious oinoi. He is the continuation, as it were, of the father's strength. He sets a tone. He is entitled, therefore, to take a double portion, because everything else is really toffle, is pulled after him, and he is the one who is responsible for everything that goes on in the home. Says Hashem Yishmul, therefore the Pasuk is teaching us the incredible value of making sure that when you begin something, it's done on the right foot. If a bechoy, if the firstborn is unfortunately not such a great child, and the children will be brought after him, then there's a crisis. If the first child is brought in a correct way, and the family is begun in the correct way, then Be'ezus Hashem, it sets much more of a pattern that everything can and will Be'ezus Hashem continue in the correct way. So that's what he's saying over here, that the din of bechoy is brought over here to tell us the importance of starting something off in the correct way. Your marriage does not start on the correct way, it's done with ulterior motives and with in lust and in the heat of the moment. That wasn't done in the right way. What's going to happen? You're going to have a child who's born with a ben of a bechoyer who is going to be not bringing the importance of the home, of the value of the firstborn as the one who is a paradigm, the one who is the example of everyone should be following him. And then it's a ben soira moira. And then that will lead to a ben soira moira. That's the next stage where you have children who are unfortunately not going in the correct way. Now the ben soira moira, by the way, is very interesting. Ben soira moira, Chazal say that he gets skila, the worst possible misa. Why? Yomus zakai val yomus chayiv. Again, with the understanding that at this stage in time, he hasn't done anything lemaisa terribly wrong. He's eating too much, he's drinking too much, and ultimately, he's not going to be able to sustain his habits. He's not going to be able to do that. And therefore, as a 13-year-old boy, once you're 13 and 3 months, it's over. 13 years old, he's a kid. You look at him as a kid. There's not possible for him to do tshuva. We don't say, you know what, not very good now, let's wait and hopefully he'll grow up and mature. No, we kill him now with the worst possible skida. Why? Because at the age of 13 he's begun his adult life in such a miserable way of stealing and gluttonous ways. There's absolutely, says the Torah, no chance. He can become a baal tshuva? No, there's no chance. If you start off in a terribly difficult way, there's no chance. Tshuva is possible for everybody? Maybe. But the chances are stacked up so strongly against him. Do him a favor. Get rid of him now while he's still Zakai al Yom HaSkai. Which is a very, very fascinating concept. By the way, it never ever happened, according to Gemara says. Most probably never ever happened. But the concept of starting something off in the correct way, because one thing leads them to the other, is so strong that we see that you even kill a Ben Sorim, a 13-year-old child, based on this particular theme.
Is he Zakai? I mean, what does he have to say? He gets to, they say, well, what have you done good? He has done nothing good, so he doesn't have any good skill.
Zakai meaning with regards to his death penalty. He has done nothing that should virtue him to get this death penalty. He hasn't killed anybody. He has been Mechal Shabbos. He's stolen. So you're stealing, you pay back. Right? Okay. Right? But
he didn't listen to his parents, he didn't do all
terrible. Very bad. We don't get Mises based in for that.
When he comes to the next world, what has he got for him?
He doesn't have what would be against him if we just let him carry on the way he's going. And that's a favour to him. We're doing him a favour by getting rid of him at this stage. It's a very, very powerful point. The Gemara says, Lo yehoyo, lo os liyos, never was, never will be. Yeah. If so, why do it? Dorosh v'kabel schar. Dorosh v'kabel schar, according to most of the means understand the parasha clearly, and that is a game changer. You get that clear, you'll get schar for the rest of your life. You'll understand clearly the process of what happens. Similarly, we find the same thing later on. Again, a very, very strange psukim. The Pasuk says in Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Dalud, Lo yovoi amoini umayovi bekal Hashem. An amoin umayovi may not come into the Kahal Hashem, the congregation of Hashem. Gam doir asiri, even 10th generation, Lo yovoi lehem bekal Hashem ad olam. They may never ever marry in, the males, may never ever marry in to the Jewish people. Why? Al devar asher kidmu eschem lechem avayim, for the matter that did not come and present to you, offer you bread and water. B'derech b'tzeischem in Mitzrayim, when you left Mitzrayim, v'asher socha alechos bilam ben ba'oyr mitzoy ram naraim lekal leko, and also the high bilam ben ba'oyr to curse you, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow it, etc. So the Mefarshim ask, all the Balei Musa ask, why need two reasons? You cannot marry Ammon and Moav for two reasons. Number one, they did not give you bread and water when you left Mitzrayim. And number two, they're high, they're hitman. No, it's Moshel Mardov Adoyme. You know, you may not never marry a German, a Nazi. Why? Because on one hand, when you pass through on your trip and stop over in Berlin Airport, they did not give you free drinks in the cafeteria. And second of all, they put you through the gas chambers. Two reasons why you should not marry Germans. Number one, they did not come and give you bread and water when you left Mitzrayim. Who needs bread and water? We have our own bread, we have our own water. Thank you. Number two, they hired Bilam ben Beor to curse you, to completely wipe you out. And it happens to be that Kosh Baruch Hu did not allow that to happen. So why do you bring the two examples which are so extreme? One is not actively doing chesed, and one is actively doing a terrible, terrible thing. What's the idea? Again, the idea is that if a person does not do actions of positively going out to look for the right thing to do, actively going out and doing the right thing, of you see people coming out of Mitzrayim, they're your cousins, give them food, give them hospitality, you know what's going to happen? Naturally you're going to end up coming and wanting to annihilate them and kill them and murder them. Nobody turns from a choir boy into a mafia mobster overnight. It doesn't happen. It happens in the process. Says the Torah, these people may never get out of Israel, because ultimately they went from a stage of not doing active chesed to being a terribly active cruelty. That is the natural process. That is the natural process of Ra. That is what happens.
And their forefather was saved twice by our forefather.
Yes.
And they should forever be grateful.
Yes, ever be grateful. Absolutely right.
Otherwise
absolutely right.
They wouldn't be here.
Absolutely right.
They wouldn't have existed.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. That Rav Neventhal talks about that a lot, about Bilam. And how Bilam is a classic Kofri Toiv, and that's next week's parasha where we talk about the Bikurim. Right? And we talk about what is Arami Oved Ovi, we talk about Lavan Arami, Lavan, who's Bilam, and why he's a classic Kofri Toiv. Absolutely right. Okay. But as we say, Midot Toiv Maruba, whatever bad things are, from bad, things are Midot Toiv is even better. So Rashi later on in the parasha talks about various other mitzvahs that have a natural continuity. The Pasuk says, early on in the parasha, the Pasuk says, Ki kore kam tzibu lefanecho, if it happened to be with a bird's nest, you find a bird's nest, with little birds or eggs inside there, you're not to take the birds or eggs, you're going to send them out away, and then you can take it away. And that's one Pasuk. Next parasha, if you build a new house, you should build a fence on your roof, and therefore do not allow blood to be poured in your premises, not take responsibility. Next pasuk, do not plow with a shoyer and a chamor together. Do not plant in your kerem kalim. Kalim is mixtures of grapes together with tavuo, together with produce, with barley, with wheat, whatever. You know how to do that. Next pasuk, leisachrosh b'shoy v'chamor yachdo. Do not plow with a shoy and a chamor together. Next pasuk, leisul b'shatnei semapishim yachdo. Do not wear shatnes. And finally, gedilim tarselacha, wear tzitzis. So Rashi says, you talk about kan sipoyer, talk about birds. Then you start talking about building a house. Then you start talking about klaim in a field. And then you start talking about klaim, not doing a klaim with a shor v'chamor. Then you start talking about shatnus. Then you start talking about tzitzis. What's going on over here? Zog Rashi. Kisiv nebayis chodosh in the Tanchuma. Im kayam tom mitzvah shluach hakein. If you're mekayim mitzvah shluach hakein, soif cho livnois bayis chodosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a home. But tiskai mitzvah smarkin, you'll get market. She mitzvah goyereres mitzvah kawam mitzvah leads them to the other. And then, once you have a home, v'tagia lekerode, you'll get a kerem, you'll get a kerem, and you'll keep the lochos of kerem. You'll get a sode, you'll get a field. Ule begodeno, you'll get nice clothes. And that's why these parishes are associated one with the other. So I have one question on this. Things are going very, very well. You start off with a mitzvah shluach hakein. Beautiful mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you that schus, he gives you a new home. Fantastic. A brand new house. Bayis Chodosh. Not only that, it's a house with your own private roof. Yeah, you start building a little roof garden up there, and you put a bit. Things are fantastic. One mitzvah shluach hakein. Next stage. No, you don't get a house. I get my own kerem. Yeah, a lot of people have houses. They don't necessarily have their own kerem. right? They don't have their own vineyard. This guy has his own private vineyard. Why? You kept the mitzvah of bias, you get your own vineyard. Marvelous, right? So now you've already got your house, not only where it is in the city, you've already got your house in Zichron Yaakov, yeah, with your own vineyard. Next says the Pasuk, not only do I have that, I have my own field. I have my own field. I've got, now I'm plowing. Not only have I got a little vineyard, I've got my own field. How we should plow the field? Don't put a shoy v'chamo yachta, don't put a donkey and a shoy together. Then it goes a bit disappointing. Shatnas. I've got my house, got my vineyard, got my field, and then start talking about clothes. Yeah, when you have clothes, don't wear shatnas. You know what? And then it starts next mitzvah. You kind that, you get tittered. I don't know. It's taken a bit, it sort of peaked. Yeah, at a sod, and then he went all the way down to get a nice suit. Don't wear shatnas or socks. Don't. What's the idea behind that? What's the concept behind that? That if you zoicha to this, you get that. Why did it peak there? What happened there? Why did it go down from there? So I had a very, very beautiful thought from my very, very, very dear friend David Lovsky, and he said, I'm not sure who he said this from, but from one of the Chassidish Rebbes, he said that this pasuk is not telling me the schar of mitzvahs. It's not giving me the reward of the financial reward of getting these mitzvahs. It's talking about the quality behind each level of mitzvah that you rise from level to level. And he explains as follows. He says a person is walking along in the forest, and he finds a cane sipoy. Now it must not be a situation where it's planned, because it happened without any planning. It cannot belong to you. It's got to be from the hefker. It's planned. Therefore, he feels completely, he never planned to do this, and it's an opportunity he never even planned. Fantastic! Nobody forced me to do this. Fantastic, I do this mitzvah, and I embrace this mitzvah. You carry kam sipur. But nobody is telling me what to do. Nobody in that situation is infringing on my life goals, or my life aims, or my business career, nothing. So it just happened to be there, fine, you get a kam sipur. You keep that mitzvah, Hashem says, I will give you even better quality mitzvah. I'm going to give you a house. Now, with your house, I want to build my house the way I want it. You ready? Telling me what I should do with my house? I don't want a roof. I don't want a fence around the roof. I want open planned roof. No, you're not allowed to. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'll give you an opportunity now, not only to do a mitzvah without thinking, but I'm really beginning to get into your life a little bit. I'm telling you how your house should look. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a beautiful house. I'll listen to that. But you know what? We'll stick to how my house is decorated. I'll leave that to you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. You keep that, I'll give you an extra opportunity. What's the next opportunity? I'm just telling you, you have to make a career choice. Are you going to make a kerem, or are you going to make a sadeh? Are you going to make a vineyard, or are you going to have a field? You can't do both. I'm telling you what job you have. Either you are a farmer who deals with his fields, or you have a kerem. But when it comes to business, you can't do whatever you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one second. I was walking along, I stepped to the kan sipur. I did that. Yes, okay. Okay, now you're telling me how I should live in my house? I don't mind. But you're telling me what career choice I should take? Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Make a career choice. Either it's a kerem or other. You can't have both. You have to make your choice. Okay, he makes his choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets even into his life over there. And then he turns into the next one. He's made his which career he should do. Next in, tells him not only what career you should have, how you should run your business. You've decided to have the sada, up to you. So you have the sada. Okay. But you can't put shoy and a chamor together. Rabbi Shlomo, I've made a career choice. Now, getting into my life, how I should make business. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me do my business my way. No. You can't do business that way. You can't put a shoy and a chamor together. You've got to do how I told you to run your business. So it's, so far, it's walking along the way, fine. How I should, my house should look, okay. What career choice I should have, fine. How I should do my business, okay, it's already getting a little bit more personal. Because Baruch Hu says, you ain't seen nothing yet. You keep that? You okay with that? Okay, I want to tell you how you should dress. No shatnas. Baruch Hashem, I like the feel of linen with wool. You can't do that. Either it's wool or it's linen. You can't do both. Okay, so I'm going to take my Hugo Boss suit back. Finish, I can't wear it. I had a friend who bought a Hugo Boss suit. He was so excited. He went to Berlin, he bought a Hugo Boss suit for 300 euros, reduced from 1,000 euros. He was delighted. He went to the Shatner's place here in Bet Shemesh. is riddled with shatness. It's no point to just rip the whole thing off. Okay, so I'm not going to wear my yoga boss suit. Fine, I'll wear my regular suit. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not only what suit you wear, but you have to advertise that you're Jewish. Wear tzitzis. Wear tzitzis. This is already a whole different story. This is unbelievable. Here I choose a mitzvah, where my house should look, which career I should have, how I should run my business, what clothes I should wear, and I have to advertise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yes, mitzvah, geyreres mitzvah. That is a wonderful thing about starting off the year of Ezra Shem in Rosh Hashanah with a new beginning, with a new start, because one thing leads into the other. Not chalila, like the other way, where one thing falls into from to Ben Soyer Amira. This, be Ezra Shem, we start the right way, we have schusim for one mitzvah after the other. Yes, sir.